Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined as always by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how the devil are you doing? Yay, Olympics.
Well, as the official mascot of the Tokyo 2020-21 Olympics, Chris, I think you shouting "Yeah, Olympics" at the start of every Abroad Japan podcast is exactly what the brand needs, to be quite frank.
Absolutely, it's off to a good start. Generally, did you see the only exciting good part were the drones that flew over the stadium? To be fair, I didn't see the entire Olympic ceremony, but everyone that did. They went on about the drones, the drone globe. Did you see it? Did you retweet it?
I didn't see or retweet it. I saw like a very grainy shot that someone put on Twitter of the drainy globe, drone globe. And, I think we've seen versions of that before, haven't we? The Chinese have done a few little kind of New Year celebration drone.
The wind
displays,
out of the sails. The wind is out of the sails.
I've seen it before, mate. Give me something new. Give me explosions.
Unleash Godzilla. over the skyline. I mean, I'm glad the Olympics are just underway now. I mean, we've talked about it for years, and it's been like one of the overarching themes in my sort of 9 years in Japan, right? The Olympics. It's kind of here. It is here, and it seems to be off to a good start. There was a turbulent week in the run up to it. The head of the Olympic opening ceremony lost his job, I believe, and the composer as well for something he did back in 1995. Oh yes, the head of the openings. Yeah, the head of the opening ceremony made some ridiculous remarks regarding the Holocaust, and they came back to bite him from something he said in the 90s.
The people who actually do the athletics are the reason why we're watching this. The people who are organising it, they're quite scummy, aren't they? Really, they're quite problematic.
And in fact, I think the head of the IOC gave a speech that went on far too long during the opening ceremony. A lot of people weren't happy about that either. But it's out the way. It's done. The games are happening. And it seems to be off to a reasonable start. And now that it's happening, it's good. And so let's just hope nothing else goes wrong. No. Not that I'm really that interested in it. Are you watching it? Are you keeping up to speed on things?
I watched a bit of the soccer because it's really interesting. You have the opening ceremony after several games of football have already taken place, several games of netball and stuff. I saw a bit of the swimming. I saw that Australian coach go crazy, mental, when his charge
great.
He started humping the banister, humping the barricade. it was so funny. And if you can't look, if your mate, the person you've been training all these years, wins gold at the Olympics, I think you're
absolutely
out of Humber Bannister, and that's not problematic, all right? You can get away with anything.
Who wouldn't? Absolutely, absolutely. But it's great that it's finally underway. I've got to worry about a typhoon. I don't think we normally get that many typhoons this time of year, but we've got a typhoon, Typhoon Nepetak, which reminds me of
Nepetak.
Imhotep, the mummy. But it's hitting Sendai head on. I think it's the first typhoon in recorded history to make landfall north of Fukushima. Usually it hits Kyushu, gradually works its way up through Shikoku and Tokyo. And by the time it gets here, it's like a trickle of rain. But this time, tomorrow night, 3 a.m., it's going to smash its way into Sendai. And hopefully it's not too bad, because a lot of typhoons, they sort of hype it up as this terrible thing that's coming. And then it finally arrives here and it sort of lingers on and it's sort of already dead at that point. Right. I don't know why I'm talking as though it's a living, breathing creature. But
well, I just hope that you're in a position where you're not in your studio that's 10 flights up or whatever. You get smashed to pieces.
My brand new studio. Yes, it's. I still haven't got the keys to that. I'm still waiting on that. Hopefully it's good. But as soon as I get the keys, I might well do the podcast from there. We'll see. Although it's going to be very echoey because it's a very big empty room. We have got a story this week from Caleb, and it revolves around islands. Like one of the things when you come on the JET program, Japan Exchange Teacher Program, one of the sayings that you hear a lot is everybody has a different experience, and it's kind of a cliche, but it's true. Japan is quite a large, long country, and it's quite diverse in locations you can get. And you know, you'll be driving through the middle of nowhere, and you'll think, "Oh my God, there's probably an ALT out here doing something." And this is a story from a guy, Caleb, who is in the most remote place I think you could possibly have in all of Japan. It begins, "Hi, Chris and Pete, Caleb here. I've been living in Japan for 2 years now, and I've worked as an ALT on the JET program. While I was filling out the application, I came across a question where you could choose where you get placed. Having studied abroad in Saitama, I felt I had experienced enough of Tokyo, and I'd like something a little bit different, but I had absolutely no idea where I would like to be placed. Now, I'm not a fan of the cold. As long as it was any place other than Hokkaido, I knew I'd be fine. I ended up not asking for any specific place, and instead just asked for an island." Oh God, a bold move. "I thought an island would be a cool experience and offer me a good environment to better my Japanese language ability. Now in my mind, I had pictured something like Ishigaki in Okinawa or the Goto Islands, something decently inhabited and modern. Well, after receiving the email with my placement from the consulate, I quickly opened up Google Maps and searched for Toshima Village, Kagoshima Prefecture. To my surprise and horror, I had gotten exactly what I asked for. At first, I couldn't see anything on the map. All I could see was an open ocean between Yakushima and Amamioshima. I zoomed in a bit, and there was my placement, a group of 7 tiny islands. I quickly looked up all the information I could find and realised I'd be living on Tairajima, an island of less than 80 people, with no grocery stores, no convenience stores, and a ferry that only comes twice a week if the waves cooperate. I was also to be the first foreigner to live on the island. Needless to say, I was terrified and had everyone telling me that if they'd gotten that placement, they would have dropped out. But after some serious thought and research, I decided to go through with it. Fast forward to today, and I've been here 2 years now, and I'll be here for at least 1 year more. I currently teach a combined elementary junior high school of just 20 kids, which gives me great opportunities to connect with them on a personal level and create lessons geared towards their individual needs. In these 2 years, I've swam among coral reefs with sea turtles, I've participated in the island's Obon dance, and I've translated some tourist info for the island, and I just took my N2 Japanese proficiency test last July. Although my placement makes it harder to travel and sightsee on the mainland, it's given me the opportunity to travel and see places that very few people have ever seen. While I was initially terrified and lonely, I've come to truly appreciate my place on the island and my slice of paradise and the people I've come to know while staying here. If you ever want to do a real Lost Islands video, let me know. All the best from Caleb." And if you look at the map, type in Toshima, T-O-S-H-I-M-A, Toshima, Kagoshima district, you will see an island, and you'll have to look hard, a very, very small island nestled between Yakushima, where we went on the first episode of Journey Across Japan, and Amami Oshima. And oh my God, I don't know how he's done that. What do you reckon, Pete? Like, could you live on an island of that size?
It looks like deepest, darkest, like in the middle of like Hawaii or something, doesn't it? I mean, there's yeah. I mean, the most kind of populated area just seems to be in the center, near some kind of history museum, it seems. And Mike, which kind of looks like the word Mike, that's where Mike lives, and the Yurusei Ranch. It just looks like, it looks very ranchy, very rural.
Ranchy.
A lot of donkeys very around. Ranchy. I'm loving it. I'm loving it, but I mean, I would find it very hard to live there.
You wouldn't
there,
be able to
I
live
imagine.
There. Mr. Connected, Mr. Soho, Central
Mr.
London.
Connected.
You could not live on an island like that for a year, disconnected from the world.
Hey, look, there's probably excellent 4G because of very few actual houses using it.
That's true, actually. I wonder how the internet is. Clearly it works if Caleb's messaging us and listening in. But I kind of want to go, but I'm also kind of scared if there's a ferry that only comes 2 weeks. Like, that is bonkers. Like, I was looking at some islands recently, like Aogashima, one of the islands very south of Tokyo, very far south, like 1,000 kilometres. And to get there, you need to take like a week, like a few day long ferry ride. And then some days the ferry can't even dock. And I've heard that you get lifted in some cases during choppy waters. You get lifted off the ferry by a crane, which is technically illegal. But they do it anyway because there's not much choice to get off it.
What, you just sit on a, bonkers. You just jump on a crane?
They have like a little crane with a fork, like a fork lift sort of fork on the end of it. And it comes out over the boat and picks up a crate, and you can sort of sit in the crate, and they lift you off the boat and onto the island. What a way to land on an island.
Yeah. That's sweet. I mean, and why? Crazy. And tell me why you're not doing this right now, Chris. Tell me why you're not traveling to this little island now.
I think I've traveled enough, and I don't want to be there. That's the last place you want to be when the typhoon hits down that neck of the woods, right?
Typhoon, schmyphoon. Come on.
But, you know, I think a lot of people forget that Japan's got over 6,000 islands, and you often wonder, like, what goes on those little islands. Like, if you go on Google Maps and look around the coastline, you'll see thousands of little islands. Like, you just think, how do people live on there? But it's like a little port town community. On this
you get to the feeling that, because like in England, you can kind of, if you find some land that is uninhabited and not owned by anyone, you can claim it. You know, it takes a long time, but you can claim it. Maybe you could do that in Japan, find a little island that's not been inhabited or no one's laid claim to it, and just say, I live here, this is mine.
It's how the Senkaku Islands dispute started, didn't it? Between China and Japan.
You could be like that, one of those blokes on that oil rig that's off the coast of is it Cornwall or something? Where that guy just declared a new country
off of Norfolk, Sealand or something.
Sealand,
Sealand.
Do a bit of that.
We'll do it. But well done, Caleb. I'd like to hear more about what that's like to live on. If you're listening in, Caleb, like, fill us in. What is it like? Where are these 20 kids? If there's 80 people on the island and 20 kids, how does that work? I'm guessing it's 20 kids from all the seven islands, maybe?
Yeah. I'm looking at a local guide has reviewed the ranch, the Yarose ranch. 4 reviews, 3.5 stars out of 5. A very nice place, suitable for finding yourself.
Suitable for finding yourself. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, I'd love to go down. Maybe we'll make it happen. I'll drag Natsuki down there and we'll check it out. And you can give us a nice warm welcome, Caleb. Amazing stuff, though. And I think that's a great story. I know a lot of people are daunted when they come on the JET program or come to live in Japan on any teaching program. You never know where you're going to end up. And I was nervous ending up in Yamagata, where there's just cherries, let alone an island in the middle of the sea. So, you know, you can make it work. So well done to you, Caleb. We got some interesting news this week, though. So we've got the Olympics have been going on. But kind of another thing that overshadowed the Olympics a little bit at the start was a French chap who's gone on a hunger strike over his abducted kids. He's now his third week of doing this. For a bit of context, in Japan, if something goes wrong with your partner and you've got kids and you're married, the woman always gets to take the kids, really. There's no, like, the kids are sort of taken away by the mum. And they have custody without question. Now, what this means for a lot of folks who are in a relationship where there's a Japanese mother and a foreign father, they can take the kids back to Japan and sort of just disappear with them. And it's quite a serious situation. It's something that's been going on for years. And you know, a lot of human rights organizations have raised this with Japan. And of course, it's still a problem in Japan. Fathers in Japan who have their relationships gone the wrong way and they've never seen their kids again. They've just sort of disappeared. But this French chap, Vincent Fichot, he's been on hunger strike in Tokyo seeking access to his children. And he's even got the support of President Emmanuel Macron to try and help and lobby the Japanese government to change this policy. He's 39 years old and he says his two children were abducted by their Japanese mother and he's been on hunger strike since July 10th in a bid to be reunited with his family. He was a former finance worker who has lived in Japan for 15 years, but he's been sitting day and night outside a train station near the Olympic Stadium And he's actually received a lot of publicity for this. Have you actually seen this news story at all, Pete, or heard anything
I've
about
not,
it?
I've not, actually. No, this is the first time I've heard of it. Maybe it's bigger news out in Japan. I've not heard anything through the prism of the Olympics, through that context, anyway.
I mean, this is one of those sort of darker and more unpleasant aspects to Japan's judicial system, along with the old, you can be arrested and stuck in a prison. You know, you're guilty to proven innocent. This is up there with sort of the more darker, unpleasant aspects. But during the meeting, Macron brought up Fischio's extremely tragic situation. So he met with the Prime Minister, Yoshihide Suga, and talked to him about it. But it's kind of sad. I don't know what you can do about it, really. But apparently every single year, 150,000 minors are forcibly separated from a parent in Japan. So this is a pretty big issue. And he's been approached by people from outside Japan and also people within Japan who have faced this problem. But good luck to him. I hope something comes from it. But a nasty thing. So just be careful. If you get married and have kids in Japan, be aware of that, because it's not bad. It's not a good thing. It doesn't end well sometimes. Do you see Carlos Ghosn finally gave an interview about how he escaped Japan in a box?
Yeah, now the blocks have gone down for his for helping and aiding him in his escape. I hope they're getting a lot of money for that.
I mean, yeah, I know, right? Carlos Ghosn got away with it. For those of you who don't know, Carlos Ghosn, massive figure in the car world. He oversaw Nissan and Renault, and then he got prosecuted in Japan for corruption charges that a lot of people question. They said it's for political reasons. And while he was being held in prison for about a year, he decided to escape, and he escaped in a box. He got a train from Tokyo to Osaka, and then he hid in a box in a privately chartered plane and flew to Lebanon via Turkey. And it's quite a big story. One day he was there, and then the next morning he was just gone. And there was he just appeared in Lebanon. But I feel sorry for the guys that kind of helped him either willingly or unwillingly, unknowing. But ended up taking the heat and actually being put in prison in Japan. But he did an interview with the BBC, I think, and he talks about what it was like to be in a box in a plane for all those hours. And that's something that I think was overlooked a little bit. Like, that is insane. I don't like flying in a seat, let alone flying in a fucking box for like 12 hours to Turkey. Like,
yeah, but you're allowed to lie down, though. You just lie down, have a little sleep.
Have a little sleep.
Get yourself some of my favourite sleeping tablets, Japanese sleeping tablets, Druel. Get a couple of them. Good night, everyone.
I mean, it's insane. I don't know what to make of it, but yeah, Carlos Ghosn, he's escaped. And it's interesting when you talk to other foreigners in Japan. Many of them are sort of broadly supportive of him kind of actually escaping Japan, whereas Japanese people are not supportive and are angry and feel like he should come back and face justice. So it's quite interesting seeing that dynamic play out. But
it's amazing that under house arrest he wasn't ankle tagged. Like he wasn't tagged, that he just couldn't be leaving. Like, but it sounds like he had the freedom to move around his sort of village or his town, I guess, because like he managed to sort of go to the shops and then, you know, jump on a Shinkansen, get himself to, I think, did he use Kyoto or Osaka or somewhere and flew out?
He got to Osaka. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And that's not, you know, the airports at Osaka are not, it's not chump change. It's not, they're not two-bit operations, are they? They're international hubs, aren't they? Very weird.
I guess, again, he was in the box, right? Because that's the only way he could have slipped out, but it is insane. I'd like to actually watch that full interview and find out the ins and outs of what happened. But Carlos Ghosn, there you go. I still can't believe he's gone. I still can't believe it happened, given he was such a big figure. He had a manga about him. They wrote a cartoon. Right. He had a manga about the man, for God's sake.
Why don't you do like, there's lots of like radio features on Radio 1 where a DJ will go missing for the day and you've got to like follow all the clues. Why don't you just one day do like a hunt for Chris, and you just sort of like leave little online breadcrumbs for people, and nobody has to sort of be, because you can't be in Japan, but you know, we sort of cut through the clues, you could work out where Chris has gone, and we earn a box of coolish or something.
the idea ran out of fuel very fast.
It really did.
Odds are I'm down the nearest Family Mart trying the crispy fried chicken. I brought out some new chicken. It's delicious. We'll be back with the fax machine in just a moment with your questions.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And we're back with the fax machine. What have we got this week, Mr. Donaldson?
We got one from AJ. Hello, or AJ maybe. Probably got to go for AJ, okay? Hello, Shug and Pete and Pauper Chris. Yes, my name is AJ and I live in Bromley in Kent. First home in London, that was, Bromley, lovely. I'm someone who recently is getting back into gaming and even managed to get a hold of a PlayStation 5 recently. How is your hunt going, Chris? My question is, if you could both self-insert, and I'm glad AJ wrote it like this, self-insert one video game, self-insert yourself into one video game, which would it be and why? Take care, guys, a chair. PSP, how's the gaming chair? Still covered in glue, still looks like I've been up to no good, unfortunately. But
give it
as I said, give it a clue. I'm trying, but it's glue. You can't just wipe glue off, can you?
I mean, I think I'd probably have to go for Uncharted. I absolutely love Nathan Drake. I love the Uncharted video games. I've noticed in recent years when I do sit down to play a video game, it's more for a narrative-driven experience than sort of an open-world thing. Like I played Red Dead Redemption and GTA, and I just find like I don't have the time to sit through it all and carve out my own story. Whereas something like Uncharted, I'm a big fan of Indiana Jones, and I just think the Uncharted series captures that sort of adventure atmosphere perfectly, and I love it, and I want to be Nathan Drake. What about you?
I do worry the fact that you almost refuse to get on a horse and a Cessna plane, that you think you're going to be the kind Shut of up. Daring do adventure oh, monster Nathan that Drake, is Nathan I tell Drake.
I might not go in the big scary cave.
I'm getting
cave.
On that plane.
The cave
yes,
with the
and the cave. The cave with the house millipede in it or something.
Indiana Lordy. Jones. Indiana Jones is afraid of snakes. I am the same. I'm literally Indiana Jones.
Yeah, the list is so a little bit longer than Indiana Jones's, unfortunately. I would insert myself into a video game from the 80s that Norma remember, Jet Set Willy, which is like an 8-bit platformer, and it was very much a product of its political environment, in that it's the sequel to Manic Miner that you might have heard of.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it was like a little platform game. In Manic Miner, he was just a miner, and it was just a little kind of screen-by-screen platformy game where you had to collect as many, like, you know, jewels and little odds and sods underground because he was a miner. And then Maggie Thatcher, like fever dream, he'd become an aristocrat because he was so well off because of the unions and stuff. And he had a big, massive house. And it was the day after a big party, and his housekeeper wouldn't let him go to bed until he'd gone round and collected all of the wine glasses and beer bottles and stuff. So this guy goes around 120, 130 screens, or rather rooms in his home, and collects all of the wine glasses and beer bottles and stuff. I've never completed it, but it's one of those. It was the first game I played on the old Amstrad CPC 6128, and it's got a really it's got a bit of my heart devoted to it.
Well, it just sounds like Sunday night at Pete Dawson's house.
Yeah, oh yeah, very much so. I mean, it's like the stag do that I was at the weekend. Just I made a terrible mess in the hotel. Luckily, I could just leave it after stuffing everything in the bin.
That's such a cool game. That's such a cool premise for a game.
It's fun. Fun. Classic.
Love it. We got one from Ian here. It says, "Hey Chris, hey Pete, greetings from South London. My name's Ian. My wife and I can't wait to visit Japan, but there's one thing that sticks in my mind as being a significant worry. It's the toilets. Firstly, the old style ones you have to somehow squat down on. I practiced the position. I suspect I'd end up not making a very good job of it. So please tell me, how can I make sure I don't ever encounter one of those squat toilets? Also, with the computer toilets, is there always an option to use loo roll, or do I need to bring my own? All the best, Ian." Ian, you're worrying too much, mate. The good news is squat toilets, they're very hard to find these days. They're kind of dying out. They're still there, but often you'll go in a toilet and there'll be like three or four cubicles, and like one of them will be a squat toilet and two of them will be Western style. So if you go in a toilet and see a squat toilet there, don't panic too much. Go and check the other cubicles, because the odds are there is a good toilet in one of the other ones. And don't worry, you don't need to bring toilet roll. I don't know why I don't know why I have to worry about that. Well, I like the term computer toilets, though.
Yes, definitely. Cool. I think they say that squat toilets are better for you. Is it better for the colon? You're not straining and stuff because you're completely. I'm going to use the word open. Because like you can buy those like kind of squatty potty stools to put your feet up.
Yeah, I saw Brian Cranston had one, I think. Yeah, it's popular in LA.
I thought I wouldn't be able to buy a squat toilet online, but turns out you really can. 160 quid for a squat toilet. Lovely. I might get it installed. It's called an Indian-style squat pan.
Just to prank and irritate guests coming to your new house.
Yeah. Guess what our toilet's like? Oh, Pete, you like Japan. It's probably one of those computer toilets, isn't it? Nope. Nope. It bloody isn't,
the antithesis mate. to the computer toilets. Dear, oh dear.
Wow.
Go and buy one.
Yes. Come buy one, but you're fine. There'll always be an option to not use a squat toilet. I'll just do it in the street, like a dog.
Oh, God.
Got a message from Nikolai from Denmark. Greetings, Christopher and Peter. That's the respect we deserve, isn't it? Christopher and Peter. Big right now, mate. I'm planning a trip to the magical country of Japan with my group of best mates. Unfortunately, we have come upon a different dilemma. Being from Scandinavia, we can barely survive when our summer temperatures go above 25 degrees. What are some of the best ways to beat the heat in Japan? Nikolai from Denmark.
I mean, don't go outside. That's basically what I do in summer. Yeah. I mean, I went outside today, and after about 10 minutes, I was drenched in sweat and I had to have a shower. Like, in this time, like this time of year, you need like 2 or 3 showers a day if you're going to go outside, because it's just horrible. And I don't like it.
Around about this time of year. Where are we in? July? I don't think I've really sort of spent a lot of time in Japan in July, but I think that might be my first trip. And I was just constantly sweat. And I had like a lot of like blue, what I'd probably call bus driver shirts. Like, you know, bus drivers in England, they have like white, like I have like blue short-sleeved shirts, collared shirts. And every picture I took of myself, just absolutely drenched in it. Disgusting.
That's a very good tip, actually. Yeah, wear dark clothes, because otherwise you'll get very visible, very unpleasant sweat patches. But drink Bukkari Sweat. That's a good thing about vending machines. They're everywhere. Stay indoors. Nice air conditioning. Don't go outside too much and wear dark clothes.
Out handkerchiefs.
Absolutely. Handkerchiefs, yeah. You'll need... Actually, you get these really good wipes, Gatsby wipes, in all the convenience stores. You can use those to mop your brow, wipe your face, and they're very refreshing and cool.
Do people actually unironically use Gatsby? Because it's like hair gel, hair product, hairspray, hair mousse. It's got all kinds of male hair tonics that you see in the 7-Elevens. But I've never actually seen a person walking down the street with a... with a tub.
I use Gatsby.
Do you use Gatsby?
Well, I've got nothing. There's nothing else to buy here. It's
I thought
Gatsby
you were a Dr. Jelly gel man. That's what I heard.
Don't bring that back. Don't remind me of that crap. Dr. Jelly hair gel slapped in my hair. Like I'm a toy. Slapped in my hair. Oh, it's awful.
I do like when Natsuki is behind a head of hair, and he's obviously you were in a karaoke booth there, but when he's in a kind of like hair cutting kind of situation, he turns into a very different person because he's all business. even when he was just doing the acting, he was just like really kind of laissez-faire, kind of really relaxed and stuff, because he was, you know, in his element, because he's a hairdresser.
Well, he wasn't acting, was he? He was just doing his bloody 9-to-5 job. He'd come on a holiday just to act as a hairdresser, act as the very thing he does 95% of the time. What a surreal situation. Turned out quite well, though. I was quite happy with that one.
Yeah, fun.
I have to say, I think the second Dr. Jelly is my favourite. The only thing that let us down on the third one was the location, trying to make a karaoke booth look like a hairdresser's or a barber's. Pretty difficult. But we just about pulled it.
Curlers with Ian's hair.
Yeah. I don't know how they... don't know how we managed to fit those in there, but go and check out the Dr. Jelly commercial. I combined all three commercials into one super Dr. Jelly commercial on the second channel, Chris Abroad. Check it out.
Cool.
Go and check it out. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming into abroadjapanpodcast@gmail.com, guys. We'll be back in the next few days to do all over again on the Abroad in Japan podcast. But for now, no matter where you might be out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great week, and we'll see you then. Bye for now.
Yum, yum.
What's that?
I don't know, it's my new sign-off. Yum, yum.
Dear it. And we're back with the fax machine. What have we got in the week? They're here. Fuck.
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.